In this cycle, I will present a joint work with Nagel Simjur about coloring, the problem of coloring special families of hypergraphs, which are geometric hypergraphs. As long as I know, the geometric hypergraphs have two different, completely different definitions. One is by Day and Patch, which goes back to 1998, and the other one is by Smorodinsky, which is quite recent. Actually, I saw this definition in his SOTA 2006 paper. In this, like, I'm only considering the geometric hypergraphs defined by Smorodinsky. So, what are geometric hypergraphs? They are, in some sense, a generalization of intersection graphs of geometric regions. For example, suppose we have three regions which share a single point. Then the intersection graph of these regions will be a complete graph on three vertices. But geometric hypergraph corresponding to these regions is a little bit more general, right? Here is definition. Of course, you know the definition of hypergraph. It's mentioned in yesterday's talk. A hypergraph is a set of V and E, where V is any set and E is a family of subsets of V. And a geometric hypergraph is defined on a set of regions. Suppose R is a set of regions, and let's denote the subset of regions which share a single point P by R of P. Then geometric hypergraph induced by R has one vertex for each region, and a subset of regions induce a hyper edge if and only if there exists a point that those regions share that point and no other region share that point. Here's the exact definition. It will be more clear in the when I illustrate an example. And a K coloring of a hypergraph is an assignment of numbers 1 to K to the vertices such that no hyper edge has only one color. So each hyper edge should have at least two different colors. Here's an example. In this example, we have four regions, R1 to R4. So the set of vertices is R1 to R4. R1 and R2 intersect in this point, for example. So we have a hyper edge, which includes R1 and R2. R1, R2, and R4 intersect in this point. So we have an hyper edge, R1, R2, and R4. R1 and R4 intersect, but the intersection region is completely covered by R2, so we don't put make a hyper edge R1 and R4, and we have R2 and R4 and R2 and R3. Okay, is that clear? Is there any question about the definition? Okay, great. So what is known about geometric hypergraphs? Smorodinsky considers the coloring, the chromatic number of geometric hypergraphs for different set of regions. For example, he proved that the chromatic number of geometric hypergraphs induced by a set of two-dimensional disks will be at most four. Here we consider the other theorem of Smorodinsky, which is if R is a set of n two-dimensional boxes, which are rectangles, then the chromatic number of the geometric graph induced by R is at most logarithmic. I'm going to show the proof sketch of this theorem. He uses a lemma that actually the way that he proves this theorem is to use divide and conquer. We can find a line which intersects which can divide the rectangle almost in half. Then we can color the rectangles that lie completely on the left side of the line independently of the rectangles that are completely on the right side of the line. And so we can color these two sets, and then we can assign different colors to the rectangles that intersect the vertical line. So the coloring number of n boxes, n rectangles, is less than the number of colors that we need for coloring these rectangles plus the number of colors that we need to color this half. So the point is that we can always color these rectangles with 8 colors. And why is that? There are some simple facts. First of all, we can assume that no vertical or horizontal edges share a point. This cannot increase the chromatic number. And the second fact is that if there is an hyper edge with size, for example, k, which is assuming that k is greater than 1, then this hyper edge, then there is another hyper edge which is smaller than this hyper edge, and it's completely a subset of this hyper edge. So it's enough to color the small hyper edges. If you color the small hyper edges, then the bigger ones will have no problem. So we only consider the hyper edges which are of size 2. So we have a graph, a normal graph. And Smirodinsky proved that this graph is 7 degenerate. 7 degenerate means that every induced hypergraph of this graph has a vertex that has a vertex with degree at most 7. So, if a graph is k degenerate, then we can color it with k plus 1, with at most k plus 1 colors. And it's because of the well-known greedy algorithm. So what's the proof of the lemma? Smirodinsky proved that the average degree of the normal graph we obtained is at most 8 minus something. So there is some vertex that has a degree at most 7. So this graph is 7 degenerate, so it can be colored with 8 colors. And because we can color, of course I'm talking about the rectangles which intersect a vertical line. I forgot to mention this. So, for a set of rectangles that intersect a vertical line, Smirodinsky proved that the corresponding geometric graph is 7 degenerate. So what we are going to prove is that we are going to generalize this result. Smirodinsky conjectured that a similar result is true for higher dimensions, which means if R is a set of d-dimensional boxes, then the chromatic number of the geometric hypergraph introduced by R is at most a constant times logarithm of n to the d minus 1. We are going to prove this. We are going, at least, we will not prove this. We will bound the chromatic number of geometric hypergraphs induced by three-dimensional boxes by polylogarithmic number. So we only consider three-dimensional boxes. And we are going to prove that the chromatic number is logarithm to the 7, logarithm of n to the 7. And in fact, we are going to prove that it's less than 3 to the 16 times logarithm of n to the 7. F of 3 and n is the maximum chromatic number of any geometric hypergraph which is induced by n three-dimensional boxes. So 3 is the dimension and n is the number of boxes. To prove this, I'm going to the proof consists of a number of steps. I'm going to reduce the main problem to another problem, then reduce that problem to another problem, and finally I will get to a simple problem that I can solve, and then I go back to the original problem. So I need some definitions for these steps. Induced sub-hypergraphs. If we have a subset of vertices, then the induced sub-hypergraph, the sub-hypergraph induced by this subset consists of vertices which are only in U, and we for each edge we compute the intersection of that edge with U. And we need this definition too. Suppose that P is a set of permutations on the set of vertices. For example, P can be three permutations on B. Then we call a set P constructible. We define the P constructibility in a recursive way. First of all, V is P constructible. Second, if U is P constructible, we can construct another P constructible set by eliminating a vertex from it. That vertex should have this should be the first element of U in some permutation. And I'll come back to the definition of S later. Here's an example. Suppose H is a hypergraph on V and has three hyper edges. Each hyper edge has three vertices. And suppose P has only one permutation, which is V1, V2, until V5. So I forgot to define the P preserved column. So this is the definition of P constructibility. A P preserved coloring is a coloring which is a valid K coloring for every induced subgraph, sub-hypergraph of H, if U is P constructible. In this example, this is a coloring. This is a coloring which assigns 1 to V1, V4, and V5, and assigns 2 to V2 and V3. So, it's a valid coloring for H, because every vertex has at least two colors. But it's not a valid P-preserved coloring, because the set of V2, V3, V4, and V5 is a P-constructible set, and if we consider the induced hypergraph of H by these four vertices, then we have a hyper edge V2, V3. Which is monochromatic. So it's not a valid P-preserved coloring. On the other hand, this one is a valid P-preserved coloring with two colors. Any question to this point? Okay, f of L, B, and N is the maximum p-preserved chromatic number of a geometric hypergraph induced by N d-dimensional boxes. So we are looking for f of 0, d, 0, 3, and N. We want to find an upper bound for that. So L is the number of permutations that are in P, calligraphic P. So for this first step, we use the same idea which Smordinsky used for dividing the problem. We prove that f of L, D, and N is less than f of L, D, and N half plus f prime, which is f prime is defined similar to f with only one more restriction. We assume that all N boxes intersect a vertical hyperplane, similar to the proof of Smordinsky. So f prime is the chromatic number of these sets. The proof of this lemma is quite similar to the proof of Smordinsky, and we prove two other lemmas which are important. We prove that f prime of L, D, and N is less than f2 of L plus D minus 1 and N. So I'm not going to present the proof of this lemma. But what is important in this lemma is that it reduces the dimension and increases the number of permutations. So using these three lemmas, we can obtain that f of 0, d, and n, which we are looking for this, we want to bound find an upper bound for this, is less than this factor times f to 2 to the d of d, 0, and n. So here the dimension is 0, and we have d permutations. In particular, f of 0 and 3 and n is less than logarithm of n to the 7 times f to the 8 of 3, 0, and n. And so what we will prove that this number is less than 9. And so we can find an upper bound for the chromatic number of geometric graphs induced by three-dimensional boxes. And here are the steps. We can see that f of L, 0, and n is equal to the maximum chromatic number of L permutation constructible graphs. So we reduce that problem to another problem, which needs another definition. So a K-permutation constructible, or KPC graph, is a graph that is a graph that has an edge between U and V if and only if U and V is P constant. The set of U and V is P-constructible. For example, one PC graph has only one edge, because if you have one permutation, this permutation can be anything. For example, this permutation, then the only P-constructible set of size 2 in this setting is Vn minus 1 and Vn. So we have only one edge between these two vertices, and the other vertices are all isolated. Two PC graphs, which means graphs that can be obtained by a set of two permutations, can have at most n minus 1 edges, because we can eliminate vertices from one permutation, for example, from the second permutation. And once we did it, then there is only one way to eliminate the vertices from the other permutation to obtain an edge, a size 2 set. So because there is only n minus 1 way to eliminate vertices from the head of this permutation, we have at most n minus 1 edges. But we need to find an upper bound for the chromatic number of 3 PC graphs. I should mention that this lemma, together with the previous theorems, results in these two corollaries. So it's enough to find an upper bound for the chromatic number of DPC graphs if we want to find an upper bound for the chromatic number of geometric hypergraphs induced by n d-dimensional boxes. And they are almost the same if we ignore polylogarithmic factor. And we will prove that the chromatic number of any 3 PC graph is at most 9. So in this way, we will find an upper bound for our main problem. And here is finally the final problem, which we can solve. And then we can, using this problem, we can solve the main problem. Here is the proof. We use another lemma. U and V is p-constructible if and only if every other vertex, for every other vertex, there is a permutation such that vertex is before U and V in that permutation. For example, here we have Vn minus 1 and Vn is p-constructible in this set because every other vertex is before Vn and Vn minus 1 in this permutation. And if, for example, this one, V3 is here, then Vn V3 is another edge because every other vertex is before Vn. If you have V3 here, every vertex except Vn minus 1 is before V3 and Vn in this permutation, and Vn minus 1, suppose that Vn minus 1 is the first vertex, is before V3 and Vn in this permutation, so there is an edge between V3 and Vn. So using that lemma, we can prove that if a graph is a 3PC graph, then this property holds. And this needs some other definition. Let us denote the number of vertices, number of neighbors of V. For example, suppose that this one is P0, this permutation. Then the number of neighbors of V3, which are before V3 in this permutation, we denote this number by delta minus of P0 and V3. And the number of neighbors of V3 in this permutation, which are after V3, we denote that by delta plus. So we can prove that delta minus of every vertex in P0 should be greater than that number. Using that, we can, if we sum that formula for every vertex, we obtain this. The number of edges will be greater than the 2 times the number of edges minus 4n. And this results that the number of edges is at most 4n. So there is a vertex with degree at most 8. So the graph is 8 degenerate, so the chromatic number of the graph is 9. It's at most 9. for proving that the graph is degenerate, we need another lemma, which is because we proved that there is a vertex in the original graph that has a degree at most 8, but we should prove that in every induced subgraph this property holds, and that's because of this lemma. Because every induced subgraph of a 3PC graph is a subset of another 3PC graph. So if we prove, so it's enough to prove that a 3PC graph has a vertex with degree at most 8. So what remains open is to improve this bound. Smordinsky conjecture was that the chromatic number of three-dimensional boxes should be at most like a square of n. We proved that it's at most like to the 7 of n. So there's a huge gap here. So it remains open if this gap can be closed. And the second open problem is to find the chromatic number of DPC graphs for deep greater than 3. We don't know any bound for these graphs, for the chromatic number of these graphs. And I think that's all.